Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. None of us today have been drug tested. Just wanted you to know that going into the show. Walker Wildman's across from me. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Ray Pritchard. How you doing, Brother Ray?
I may need to be drug tested before this day is over. It's early yet, Tim. Yeah.
I don't know. Does caffeine count, Fred Jackson?
I guess some people call it a drug.
Because I'm going to be nailed.
I'm guilty. 2 cups of coffee I have to have by 7:30 in the morning.
Well.
This is National Coffee Day, Tim.
That's right. That's right.
This is it.
That is true. Mm-hmm. I just heard that. I didn't realize that. National Coffee Day. So, we have some great coffee here, Walker.
Mm-hmm. We do.
You don't drink coffee, right?
Yes, I do.
Do you? Okay. Well, shows you how close Walker and I are, father, son. I don't even know he drinks coffee.
I bring my coffee from home every morning in my cup.
Okay. You live here in town, though, right? Somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay.
Somewhere.
I have a few kids, too. Yeah. You might know
I
them.
See them every once in a while. Yeah. Folks are just kidding. Just kidding. We're a very tight-knit family and live close by each other, but I don't know why I didn't realize Walker drank coffee or not. Well, you got a bottle of water over there now.
Yeah.
So National Coffee Day it is, but we do sell coffee here.
We do. Yeah.
American
Family Coffee.
How can you go buy some if you want
you
to?
You can order it on our online store, afastore.net. You can go there. We have multiple options or flavors if you want to call it that.
The blueberry is awesome.
Yeah, you know, you see blueberry coffee and you think that doesn't sound very good.
Oh, it's good.
But it is good. So afastore.net on the top hand, on the top of the page, you can click on coffee and order various sizes and flavors. Excellent coffee.
Okay, you're listening to American Family Radio. Walker, Fred, and yours truly, we're in Tupelo, Mississippi. And our good friend, Dr. Ray Pritchard, is in Kansas City, Kansas, and we thank you for listening to AFR wherever you may be across the fruited plain, or if you're listening, not listening on one of our radio stations, you're listening on the app, the AFR app, which is gaining in popularity. We're here every Monday through Friday with this program, but AFR is 24/7. If you want to join us on the internet, Facebook or YouTube, just go and type in Today's Issues. Facebook or YouTube, and you can follow us there. We do live video stream the show, and on Facebook we do post the stories that we discuss, so you can have that information for yourself. What's going to be a boring day, I guess, today, huh? Just another Tuesday,
yeah,
huh, Fred?
Yeah, well, no, there is a little event tonight may not be aware of. 8 o'clock Central Time, first presidential debate of this season.
I got my recorder set.
Got your recorder set.
Well,
history, right?
A couple of my grandchildren got a baseball game
at
6.
Okay.
But we should be home by 8, but I got the recorder set for Ray if we miss it. What are you expecting tonight, Ray?
Well, I think Biden is going to come out swinging. He's got to hit hard. He wants to attack Trump. He wants to make Trump he wants to blame everything on the president. So I think Joe comes out really strong. He's got to do it while the drugs are still in effect in his system, right? You know? I mean, everybody is saying this, okay?
Right.
And the president, I think, is just going to be himself. What we saw 4 years ago in the debates, he's going to be, I think when Joe attacks him, he's going to hit back twice as hard.
Yeah. Brad, how do you think no audience, though, affects Donald Trump? Because the president he feeds off that energy.
Yeah.
Whether it's good or bad.
Yeah.
You know, if it's bad, he feeds off it. If it's good, he feeds off it.
Yeah, they're going to be in an auditorium in Cleveland, Ohio. Now, I found out this morning, I thought it was going to be an empty room except for Chris Wallace and the two candidates. But there's going to be about 100 people in the room in front of them. So
Now, do you know if it's 100 people in an auditorium of 150 or 200, or is it
no,
100 people in an auditorium of 5,000?
Well, it's seats more than 100, 100, 150 or so. So
so it's a close is what I'm asking you is it's a small venue.
Yes, it's it probably seats more than 100, but 100 people there, they're going to be spread out doing the social distancing thing.
Yeah.
Hey, but there's a couple of things that have just popped up in the last hour or so. We're just finding out. President Trump has asked for a third party verification that none of the candidates have an earpiece. He wants a third party to check, and president says, I'm open to it. Come and check my ears if you want, whatever the case may be. Number two, we just found out that Biden's people, this is scheduled for 90 to be a 90-minute event. Biden's people apparently have asked for breaks every 30 minutes.
Yeah. They're not going to get that.
What kind of breaks?
Like bathroom breaks?
Well, I guess for the candidates to do whatever they're going to do.
Walker, what about this?
What about
that first part? What'd you say now? The first part?
They're going to be checking for...
Earpieces?
Earpieces, right.
This is just President Trump goading. He just getting a rise out of Biden.
There was a debate back in 2016 where there were pictures of Hillary Clinton on the stage, and it looked like she had some kind of earpiece in. Mm. So I don't know whether she did or not, but it looked odd. Small earpieces that you can put in.
It'd be a disaster.
Non-discreet. So that's probably what the Trump campaign is talking
about.
Biden
does not need anybody whispering in his ear.
Right.
He's already going to be hard enough.
Yeah, and I'm not aware of, I don't know.
I'm hearing voices.
Historically, you know, how many breaks they get. My understanding is this is 90 minutes straight, no commercial breaks.
That's right.
So if that's the way it's been done in the past, I know the primary season is different. They do take debates because they've got like 9 people on the stage. But if the precedent is that there's no commercial breaks, then there should stay no commercial breaks.
Did they really ask for 30-minute breaks every 30 minutes? Is that true? Or is that
that's what Fox News is reporting at this hour.
That wouldn't surprise me. I mean, that's a way for the Biden campaign to kind of do damage control.
Mm-hmm.
Every 30 minutes, you can intervene and
Stop the momentum, if you will.
Get Biden back on track.
Well, and to Ray's point, maybe up in the dose.
Well,
I mean, really? Change the IV. I don't know.
Yeah.
I might could see it after an hour, taking one break. It's only 90 minutes, so if you've been up there an hour, just 30 more minutes. But when you say that, that just doesn't sound.
Isn't this pretty late, Tim, to be asking for a change?
Yeah.
I mean, on the day of the debate, ask for a change like that?
Yeah, I don't see that. No, new debate rule. Okay, I was looking at the Fox News website. What do you think, Ray? What do you think about that? Asking President Trump asking for earpiece checks?
Oh, I think it's great. They'll never agree to that, right? I mean, they're not going to, I mean, that's not going to happen, is it?
Well, if they don't agree to have to be checked, I mean, if you're talking about Biden's people, that raises all kinds of suspicions.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that really shouldn't be an issue. If you're not wearing any kind of earpiece or anything, then you shouldn't mind just having someone for 30 seconds say, hey, do you have any earpieces? Let me check. That to me... That's a simple request. It's a kind of an odd request, but yet a simple one. Yeah, I don't know why the Biden campaign would have a problem with that.
Yeah.
If you're not wearing an earpiece, it shouldn't be a problem.
And what to the 30-minute break, apparently that request has been denied so far by Trump counterparts. So they went to both camps apparently and said, hey, could we have a 30-minute break? And Trump's camp said, no, we don't agree to that.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
Mm-hmm.
No, they shouldn't.
No. 30 minutes. That's just not, that's like a guy he's, you know, if you were having a boxing match, you're going over to the ring to get your coach in and, you know, shake off the momentum of your, opponent there.
Hey, but you know what? It's very interesting watching when Joe Biden has come out of the bunker over the last couple of months. It's been about 30 minutes. That's all he can take. When he goes into that little auditorium near his hometown, and there are about 8 reporters in front of him, he gives a little speech, takes a few questions from friendly reporters, and then he's out of there.
Yeah, it's tonight's debate. Chris Wallace, you got 6. By the way, did you realize how old would you think Chris Wallace is?
60-something, maybe? I don't know.
What do you think, Fred?
Late 50s, 60s.
Walker?
How old is Chris Wallace?
Chris Wallace.
I'd say mid-60s.
72 years old. Oh.
Serious?
Wow. Yeah. Born in 1947. I was shocked, too. I was thinking maybe 65.
Yeah. Because his dad just passed away in recent years.
Yeah, his dad was the legendary Mike Wallace.
I don't know, maybe Chris needs
Mike Wallace.
A break. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's a young looking. Maybe he'll challenge Biden and Trump to push-ups.
Well, look, here's the thing. I think they should go 90 minutes, no breaks, and here's why. The Biden campaign has accused President Trump of being unfit for office, and the Democrats have actually physically made fun of President Trump. They call him, Nancy Pelosi calls him morbidly obese. And then the Trump campaign has been hitting at Biden for his lack of stamina. So I think they both, in order to prove their stamina, should go 90 minutes, no breaks.
Yeah, 90 minutes is too long. It's not. I mean, that's, I guess it would be a lifetime if you're up there doing a debate on live national television. But for those guys, at least in past years, Biden, 90 minutes would be nothing. And Biden traditionally has always done well in debates.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
So, isn't like he has a history of failing. A lot of people think he beat Paul Ryan when 8 years ago or 10 years ago or whenever that was. But he's not the same Joe Biden any longer. So we'll see what happens tonight. 8 o'clock Central Time, an hour and a half, Chris Wallace. I think that if Biden holds his own, well, I don't think there's going to be any more debates after this, win or lose for Biden. Because if he wins, quote, end quote, then by winning, I mean not falling apart, all right, not saying something ridiculous and cringeworthy, then I think he wins. Then they're going to say, listen, Biden's camp's going to say, we can coast now. We don't have to. There's no point in risking anything any longer. We can win as it is. We've done a debate, and we're not going to do any more. Unless we have breaks every 10 minutes. Now, you get that one.
Yeah.
But now, if you lose, Biden loses, then, and he looks really bad, then you might say, we're not going to do this again. We're not doing this again. So either way, I think this is my own personal opinion. This is the last debate. Now, you ever heard the expression sandbagging?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if Joe Biden's been putting us all on?
Good point.
Huh? And he comes out swinging tonight. He's the old Joe Biden from 8 years ago. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm just saying.
Well, somebody on some commentator I was watching a month or two ago said there is such thing as lowering the bar so much that all Biden has to do is show up and he looks good.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think we're there.
You do have to
for
be
the liberal
careful.
Media.
Yeah,
he's just going to have to be breathing, take no restroom breaks, and don't say 200 million people are dead because of coronavirus.
Yeah,
huh? At least come down to 50 million. You know what I'm saying? Don't say 200 million people. 2 out of 3 people are dead in this country. And he's been in the Senate 180 years, and he went to a black school. Well, what else has he said in the last week? Black University, remember that one? Well, he didn't say that last week. He said that in 19, but now we'll see what happens. But it's going to be it's Frazier versus Ali tonight, ladies and gentlemen. On national television, and the president really needs to look good and do good. I think the burden is on him to outperform Biden because he's supposed to, and because he needs a bump in the polls. Again, I say this every time because people are going to email me and Facebook message me and say, you believe the polls, Tim? You're dumb. Well, I'm not saying I'm not dumb, but I don't believe but the polls are what they are. So I'm just leaving for it to you to decide. But if you believe the polls, President Trump is behind by anywhere from nationally 5 to 7 points. I'm just saying that he needs a good night tonight as the president. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Fred, Ray, Tim, and Walker, we thank you for listening. Well, two of our staff here went to Washington, D.C. over the weekend to participate in the prayer march on the mall there that who knows how many people were there, but thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians from around the country were there. And two of them were Ann Reed. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Tim. Thanks for having us.
And her husband, Jeff. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Folks know Jeff's voice from Brian Fisher's show in the afternoon, that's Focal right. Point. How long have you been doing that with Brian now?
12, 13 years.
12?
Yeah, it's all been right. A long run.
So docile and just, it's like, Brian reminds me of a dove. Doesn't he, if you had to put a personality animal on him, would you say?
No, I don't think he's ever been accused of
being a dove?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay, and would you and Jeff, when did you decide you wanted to go to D.C.? Tell me how this took place.
Well, it was kind of last minute. It was, mid last week, I believe. And
really?
So, so it was last minute, and so we were thrilled to be able to go and be a part of the event there. Of course, it was more than one event.
When did you get up there?
We got up there on Friday evening.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Would y'all fly, Jeff?
Fly? Yes. Yes.
And you flew to D.C., Reagan Airport, I guess?
Yes.
And you got there when, Friday?
Yes, Friday evening.
Then what'd you do?
Well, we got up the next day, had some breakfast, and we decided to go down to the Lincoln. There's two different events. One was at the Lincoln Memorial. The other one was on the other side of the Washington Monument.
Franklin Graham was hosting one, and Jonathan Kahn was hosting.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to join the Prayer March 2020 at the Lincoln Memorial. And we got there a little early. I wanted to get a good spot. And we showed up. There was maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people there. And I thought, well, this is a pretty good turnout. Wanted to make my way up to the Lincoln Memorial to get a better view.
To the top steps?
Correct. Okay. And looked out as we got a good view, noticed that it was thousands of people streaming into that area. The turnout was going to be something remarkable. We knew at that point, and it was.
Yeah, and you took some video and some pictures.
I did.
Our staff
we both
this morning.
Did. Mm-hmm. It was pretty amazing.
Who knows how many people there, but fair to say, tens of thousands all over the mall, maybe 100,000, maybe more.
I would say it would be
in
at
the 100,
least 100,000.
Yes.
Over 100,000 at least.
Yes. I would say.
When it first started, there were two separate crowds, so it was very hard to gauge. But as the march took place, it went through the area where the return was happening, and the crowds joined, and it seemed like an endless stream of people.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ann, you showed the staff this morning. Franklin Graham hosted the prayer march.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was purposeful. I mean, it was not just everybody show up and pray, although that's great. You guys had, would you say, pamphlets that were handed you telling you where to walk and what to pray for, right?
Mm-hmm. So you had this immense crowd of people moving, and it's kind of interesting. You think of a march. In my mind, when I think of a march, I think of you're able to see the
beginning
breadth of
the
it,
end.
The
yes.
beginning and the end,
right.
and one side to the side. But it was just so immense, it was impossible. It was just a movement of this gigantic crowd moving forward, and it was the immenseness of the crowd was moving, and then just that alone is moving. And then if you take in what the purpose, why everyone is there, that this is in fact not a political event, that this is a movement of God. These are people who are all there for the purpose of worshiping God and crying out to Him in repentance and asking Him to save our nation.
And Tim, if I may, the way this started out was pretty remarkable. Like I said, there were speakers scheduled to open us up, but just before the speakers were about to speak, a spontaneous worship broke out. And it was, I'm sure it was a small crowd just above us, but you've been to sporting events, and you know that when the cheer or song goes out and it works its way through the crowd, it's usually out of sync because it, by the time it gets to the other side, they're
a little behind. For example.
Exactly, like the wave effect.
Yeah.
This worship broke out, and it was all the way down the mall, the reflecting pool, and everybody was in sync. It was as though the Spirit of God, that the sky split open and just dumped and saturated the crowd at the same time. We have a little audio of that if you'd like
to
hear it.
I'd like to hear it, yeah. That was spontaneous?
Yeah,
that wasn't
was.
Led by no. a singing group or no. whatever?
Yeah, it just erupted just before the speakers came on, and it was very moving. I looked around. There was people crying. I was fighting back tears, and I looked over at my wife, and I saw them coming down. I lost it.
Now, and the prayer event lasted for, what, a couple of hours?
Yes. And I'm sure for different people it lasted different. I mean, you totally had freedom, you know, to take as long as you wanted to or needed to at each of the prayer points. So,
but the return was a simultaneous event. I don't know how that came about. I was curious when I saw both those were planned at the same day.
Pretty amazing. Both these events were planned separately. Didn't know about each other, but they happened to be on the same day. They weren't competing. They actually thought it was a great idea, but both events. And think of this. This was before Ginsburg had even passed yet.
Yeah. And you mean when it was
that
planned?
Very day
mm-hmm. when it was planned, yeah.
Was the announcement.
Now, did Jonathan, did y'all go down to the return at all?
A little.
Okay. Because that was a longer.
Right, that was from 9 to 9, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
See, that's the difference between Baptist and charismatic.
That's true.
Your Baptist is going to go for 2 hours, and that's a sacrifice. Your charismatic is going to go 12 hours and then ask for more.
Yeah. In our defense, though, they were sitting, we were walking.
Yeah,
good point.
Duly noted. Ray, do you get to see any or hear any of this?
I did, and to meet him, the impressive thing, and what has just been shared, I think, shows that there is a grassroots movement of Christians across denominations who realize that as important as politics is, the greatest need of America is spiritual.
Amen.
And
it's
deeply moving to see hundreds of thousands of people, two different movements, and then converging together to pray for America. This is the great need of our nation, and I'm so glad to see Christians joining hands and hearts across denominations to cry out to the Lord.
Amen.
And guys, I'm sure if you were watching CNN, you saw the crowds and the big story that they probably covered it live and these other networks, and I'm being tongue-in-cheek here because, Anne, when you presented that this morning, one of the reasons was it didn't get any coverage.
Mm-hmm.
The Associated Press gave us a 3 or 4 sentence story. And one of the sentences was concern over the lack of masks being worn. Now, that's the coverage, 100,000 people in Washington, and it's not mentioned by the major networks.
Let me tell you something. I don't know who covered it, but it didn't get the coverage that any other group would get.
Yes. Right.
But it was covered in heaven.
That's right.
That's right.
And that was the most important thing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Be encouraged. Our nation isn't as far gone as the media would like you to believe.
That's right.
This was very, very encouraging.
Well, that's right.
I'm glad you guys got to go, and appreciate y'all sharing your experience with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad to do it.
Sandy Rios was also there, and Sandy is our Director of Governmental Affairs. She's going to talk to us in a minute, so stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
We appreciate hearing from you. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net.
I pastor a small church, so I have to have a full-time job on the side. When I try to feed the flock, y'all feed me, and I thank God for y'all.
If you want to watch the show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues, and you can also access the stories that we talk about.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby. A fourth grader was suspended from school because he had a BB gun in his room during an online class. Kay Maury Harrison is a student at Woodmere Elementary School in Louisiana. The teacher said it was a full-sized rifle. It was, in fact, a BB gun. The school district argues that during online classes, the child's bedroom becomes school property. They were originally going to expel the child, but ultimately he was suspended 2 weeks. Home suspension. You really can't make this stuff up, folks. Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry says the school violated multiple state and federal laws, called it government overreach. The Attorney General says it's absurd to think a student's home becomes school property because of a Zoom class. Not to mention that a full-grown adult teacher can't tell the difference between a rifle and a BB gun. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, just use this address, comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim. With Walker, Fred, and Ray, and we thank you for listening. We just got through visiting with Jeff and Ann Reed about their experience in Washington, D.C. over the weekend at the Prayer March hosted by Franklin Graham, and also the Return, which was an event hosted by Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, who's author of The Harbinger, which many of you have read, and other books, and Jonathan's been on our program before as well. Sandy Rios joins us. Sandy, she joins us now. She is in our nation's capital. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for American Family Association, so she represents our ministry in our nation's capital, and she's also host of Sandy Rios in the Morning, weekdays from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time here on AFR. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim.
Hey, what did you and Bruce do? Give us a sense of what you guys did on Saturday.
Oh, wow. Well, we got there at the beginning of the return. It started at 9 in the morning, and it was a big stage, but it had to be surrounded by a fence. So the bleachers are seating probably for 100 yards behind the stage. You couldn't get to. So the crowd started at the chain link fence. And it began with the shofar blowing. And it was just amazing. And so then Jonathan Cahn started quoting scripture in Hebrew and just calling the nation to repentance. And he delivered this incredible message about how we've sinned. It was just a blunt and powerful message about our sins. So I was like John the Baptist, you know, preaching to Herod, or Jesus preaching, or Paul, any of them. It was so anointed. And people came from all over just to pray and worship, music, singing. So that was the return, and that lasted all day. We left the return to go to Franklin's event, which was at the Lincoln Memorial. And I think the thing I love the most about Franklin's prayer march is when it started, we were standing on the initial lower steps of the Lincoln Memorial, and Bruce and I looked back, and there were people, a sea of people, all the way back to the World War II Memorial. So it looked much like that scene from the Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream moment at the basin there. And he asked us all to pray out loud. So the thousands of us standing there did that. We, you know, whatever was on your heart, that's what you prayed. And it just sounded like, honestly, it sounded like heaven to me. Just sounded like I think heaven's going to be when all the people are gathered, you know, in white robes, you know, to worship God. It was so powerful, Tim. Mm. There's more to say. In fact, there's one incident I do want to share. I did not see this myself, but a good friend of mine is the chief of staff for Louie Gohmert, and she and Congressman Gohmert were walking toward Franklin Graham's event at the Lincoln Memorial, and there were a lot of people moving that direction, trying to get there on time, and there was a group of Antifa Black Lives Matter protesters, about 30 of them, that had gathered, and they were shouting obscenities and making noise. And as soon as they saw this mass of people moving toward, past them, toward the Lincoln Memorial, the one with the loudspeaker said, "Don't let them touch you. Don't let them pray for you." And they ran. They all ran, which I thought was incredible. It's like the demons recognized the Spirit of God, and they couldn't stand it. That's the way I see it, and that's what I think happened. So it's wonderful.
That's awesome. Hey, I know you're on a phone and connection, who knows, but I did want to get your thoughts before we let you go on Amy Coney Barrett, the Supreme Court nominee by President Trump.
Well, from all accounts that I've read from people that I trust, she has an absolutely sterling judicial record. She, you know, was a clerk for Justice Scalia. That you can't get a much higher qualification than that. And she is an originalist like he is, meaning that she believes in interpreting the things that the Constitution says in light of what the founders meant, what they really meant when they wrote it, even though it may be archaic in terms of its application. What did they mean? What is the principle? And she has a great record. She's just a remarkable woman. When you hear her qualifications, you know, first in her class in law school, voted best professor, law professor at Notre Dame 3 years by her students. And the qualifications are amazing. I think she's going to handle this hearing with amazing, shall we say amazing grace? Can I use that?
Yeah.
With amazing grace. And I think we're going to see, it'll be great to see more of her. I want to know more see more about her.
Hey, one other question I have about this is, Sandy, yesterday I was reading some quotes from some of the left-wing women or some of the feminist spokespersons and such, and they keep saying things like this: Amy Coney Barrett will set the women's movement back 50 years, or we're going to turn back the clock of time. I mean, turn back the clock to, you know, the time when women didn't have any rights and things of that nature. Why do they every time there's a Supreme Court nominee by a Republican president, They proclaim that the world is coming to an end because of this one individual who will be on the court. It happens every single time. And with this, you have a woman. You would think they would applaud her achievements. What a career she's already had at 48 years old. And now a mother of seven, two adopted, one special needs, federal judge. And here she's going to be on the Supreme Court, a woman to replace a woman. And yet, you get this condemnation. Why do they condemn her like this?
Well, they do the same thing with black Americans. If you're the wrong kind of black, you don't hold to the positions that they think you should hold to, then you're an Uncle Tom, or you're marginalized, or you're a house fill in the blank. I mean, so it's all about ideology for them. It really isn't about women's rights. It's not about minority rights. And above all things, their sacred sacrament is abortion. That's what they mean when they say women's rights. That above all things, even above, you know, equal pay for equal work, whatever, which we've had for years, it's about the right to abortion. And they are freaking out because they are afraid that they will lose that so-called right. You know, when they talk about Ruth Bader Ginsburg being a champion for women, she's a champion for women, really, she's not a champion for aborted women, of which there are millions. She's not a champion for them. So they throw that out as though it's the truth, when the truth is Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the women that they champion are responsible for the death of millions of women. They don't care about women. They care about their own personal right to not get, yeah, to be able to act out sexually in any way they want and have no consequences. And the men that support it, that's what they care about, too.
Yeah.
And so this is not about women's rights. This is about their power and advancement without any kind of responsibility or hindrance.
Hey, Sandy, thanks so much. And appreciate you being on with us. And I'm glad you and Bruce got to go to the event on Saturday. And look forward to getting your thoughts next week post-debate.
Yes, that'll be great. I'm sure I'll have lots.
I know.
And you guys will, too. So I can't wait to hear yours, too.
Yeah. Thanks, Sandy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, bye-bye.
Walker?
Yeah, that was encouraging to hear from both Ann and Jeff, and then from Sandy, her and Bruce going to that event. Yeah, God is up to something in the U.S., Ray, but I just wish we had foreknowledge like he did on what he's up to.
Mm. You know, what's clear to me, Walker, is that God is speaking. And we know he has spoken in his word, but there are moments in history, and I really think we've come to one in America, and tonight this debate, these things are not happening in a vacuum.
That's right.
God is saying to America that you have a motto, one nation under God. You put that on your coins, and the Lord is saying, what difference does it really make? And I want everybody to know, I see the problems. I mean, guys, we talk about the problems all the time. We see what's happening in our country. One reason we ought to have a great deal of hope is whenever God's people, especially across denominational lines, do what they did this weekend, humble themselves and pray, God will hear from heaven. This is going to make a difference, guys. And I encourage all of our listeners, if you aren't praying for America, start today. Start today.
You know, to Ray's point, I believe Satan's crowd is well aware of something happening in this country. That they see this march, the reason the mainstream media didn't cover it, because hundreds of thousands of people show up for this. One of the reasons they don't like Amy Coney Barrett, and it's amazing, we were talking about our story meeting this morning, the Associated Press comes out this morning with an 8-page story, and you know what the focus of attack is on Amy Coney Barrett? Her association with this Christian group in her church. That is the total focus of this piece. And last night, Tucker Carlson on Fox, he nailed it also. The reason they do not like this woman, the reason she makes them nervous, is because of her Christian faith. Have a listen to what Tucker Carlson had to say last night, cut number two.
Why do they hate Christianity? Well, because at its core, Christianity is a threat to the left because it acknowledges an authority higher than the Democratic National Committee. When Dianne Feinstein told Amy Coney Barrett just during her first confirmation hearings 3 years ago, that a, quote, the dogma lives loudly within you, What Feinstein really meant was that Barrett's dogma might be more powerful and enduring than the Democratic Party's dogma. The very idea of that is deeply offensive to them.
You know, we say all the time it's spiritual warfare. Folks, it is. This is spiritual warfare.
Yeah, that's definitely. So you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio tonight, the presidential debate from Cleveland, Ohio. Is that right, Fred?
That is correct.
And it's at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern, an hour and a half with Chris Wallace. And we will see see what happens later tonight. You got any other stories to cover, Fred?
Oh, absolutely. And I want folks to listen very, very carefully to this story. When you talk about a difference in value systems between the two parties, and I'm going to say it again, listen very closely to this. Senator Kamala Harris, she is on the ticket with Joe Biden. She wants to be the next vice president of this country, a heartbeat away from the Oval Office. We have talked about on this program and other programs the organization Black Lives Matter. We have talked about, Abe Hamilton has talked about this many times on his program. On their website, up until recently when they took this information down, the founders, the organizers, the leaders of Black Lives Matter are Marxist-Leninists, extreme, extreme left. One of their goals, according to their website, which I understand they've taken down this information, one of their goals is to destroy the nuclear family. In other words, a family where mom and dad are present. Now, I say all of that, Kamala Harris, in an interview on C-SPAN just a few days ago, I want you to have a listen to what she said about the leadership of the Black Lives Matter organization. It's cut number one.
The brilliance and the impact of Black Lives Matter and their brilliance in conceiving it, history is going to show was an inflection point in the ongoing fight for justice, to your point, and to reform the criminal justice system and America's criminal justice system. I actually believe, as a former prosecutor, that Black Lives Matter has been the most significant agent for change within the criminal justice system, because it has been a counterforce to the force within the system that is so grounded in status quo and in its own traditions.
Guys, there you have it. She believes in, she's praising, she's calling them brilliant, the leadership of Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. who are Marxist-Leninists
yeah.
and want to destroy the nuclear family.
Well, this is where the Democrat Party is, and they used to hide it. Now they don't anymore. I'm actually surprised they took that off their website. But this is where the Democrat...
You mean Black Lives Matter took that down off their website where they said they want to dismantle the nuclear family?
That's right. Yeah, so... But anyway, this is where the Democrat Party is, and Joe Biden is going to move wherever they move, wherever Kamala Harris moves, wherever the rest of the left-wing radicals move, AOC and the rest of the squad, that's where Joe Biden is. Yeah. So voters need to take that into consideration.
Yeah, Ray, here it's really Kamala Harris versus Donald Trump.
Yeah, and maybe after tonight that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That cuz the real we all know that if somehow Biden wins, he's not really going to be the acting president, right? It's going to be Kamala Harris
right.
calling the shots, and AOC and the squad
right.
and Bernie and the whole far left crowd. You know, there used to be a moderate middle to the Democrat Party. That's gone. It's just left and far left, and that's it, and moving to the left all the time. So I hope if the vice presidential debate actually comes off, which I suppose it will, I hope that Mike Pence hangs that around her neck and says, you've got to answer for what you've said in light of the burning and the looting and the rioting in major cities across America.
You know, Kamala Harris, don't forget, the senator from California. She's from the Bay Area. She's far left politician. But she was the one that went after Brett Kavanaugh so viciously. Kamala Harris did. You know how he was mistreated, Brett Kavanaugh was. So you have, I don't need to remind everybody, but remember they allowed this woman to fly in from California, a professor at some school, that said when she was in, 16, 17, 18 years old, she was assaulted by Brett Kavanaugh,
right,
at a party one night that nobody could corroborate, right, on her side.
Right.
And yet she was given a national television audience for a day or so. Remember, yep, that? They were trying to destroy Brett Kavanaugh as a person. Well, Kamala Harris was right in there, mm-hmm, at leading the pack.
Yes.
Kamala Harris also said she believed Tara Reid, the woman the woman who now says, when she was an aide for then Joe Biden, the senator, back in the 90s or 80s, when was it? She said that he violated her. I won't go into detail, sexually. Mm-hmm. You remember this happened a few months,
yes,
ago. At the time, Kamala Harris was running against Joe Biden in a Democrat primary, and she said she believed Tara Reid. Now, does she even address it at all? Does she still believe Tara Reid?
Well, Fred, that may be why she's not taking questions.
Could
even
be.
Senator Harris is not taking questions at Biden events.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she walks off stages now. She does not take questions either. The Biden campaign has told Kamala Harris, you don't talk to the media.
This is one of the most bizarre,
I know,
campaigns, in that the Biden campaign always accuses President Trump of hiding things, and he doesn't want to be honest with us. Show us your tax returns. And here they are. They don't even answer questions with the press. And the press, they only let the people in they like. So,
well, that changes tonight, my friends.
Yeah, it's going to have to change.
Because Chris Wallace is going to have an hour and a half with Joe Biden and President Trump. So Joe Biden's going to have to answer some questions tonight.
I expect Chris Wallace to be tough on both sides, don't you guys? I mean, he's going to be tough on the president like he was in that hour-long interview. But I don't think he's going to let Joe Biden get away with gaffes or goofs. I think Chris Wallace is a pretty tough interviewer. I think we're going to see it on both sides tonight.
Yeah. So the six topics, Fred, have already been.
Yes, Chris Wallace has already released those.
Okay, what are they? Can you cite them?
I'm just going through my paperwork here. Here it is. The Trump and Biden records. The Supreme Court. COVID-19. The economy. Race and violence in our cities, and the integrity of the election. Those are the six topics.
Okay. Do you think, Fred, that Chris Wallace is going to bring up topics from the last few days, i.e. Trump's tax returns and Hunter Biden's scandals?
No.
You don't think he'll bring up either one of them?
He won't bring up Hunter Biden. He may bring up the New York Times.
That is the New York Times reporting that President Trump didn't pay any federal income taxes.
Yes.
What, the last,
10, 15 years.
Yeah. See, the problem that I have with that is if Chris Wallace can just throw in something at the last minute,
mm-hmm,
then it's really about who releases opposition research just in time for the debate.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't. I don't think Chris Wallace will fall for that.
I don't mind him bringing that up if you're going to bring up stuff about Biden.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to have to bring up Hunter Biden and the boatload of money he made because of his dad being vice president, and then the scandal around that, if you're going to talk about Trump's. By the way, I can't think of anything more boring to talk about than somebody's tax returns. Huh? I mean, I'm just. But the Democrats are just salivating over this thing, saying, you know, President Trump, then a billionaire businessman from New York, didn't, quote, pay any income taxes. Let me just say this about that. Not having experienced billions of dollars to worry about in my life, so I'm not speaking from experience. But I do know enough about business and big business to know this. A, when you're somebody, a billionaire or even a multimillionaire, you hire tax attorneys to lower your tax bill as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So you either you take advantage of charitable giving, or you take losses on business practices. I mean, there's this is why these people get paid the big bucks, these tax attorneys and so forth. So financial people. So when people say, well, he didn't pay any taxes, you don't know what you're talking about. And nobody, if the IRS can prove President Trump's people who take care of his finances, President Trump doesn't sit down with H&R Block printout, okay, at the coffee table with Melania going, do we need to take this deductible? Okay. He hires people. This is how all wealthy people work, to handle this kind of thing. And they try to get your taxes reduced as much as possible. So what I'm saying is, when the Democrats and the liberal media are saying he didn't pay any taxes, they haven't been down the checklist. They didn't do his accounting.
Right.
They didn't turn in the forms to the IRS. They're just saying, look at the bottom line, saying he cheated New York out of taxes.
Yeah, there's no way you can cast a complete judgment on one's taxes unless you read the entire form and every line item, because there's so much that goes into it. I mean, even a person who's not a millionaire, taxes are complex. Actually, they're way too complex. But unless you can show me that President Trump broke the law, I don't really care what he paid in taxes. I don't care whether he paid none in taxes, in federal or state taxes, or whether he paid millions. I really don't care. If he didn't break the law, it really doesn't matter to me.
It's a couple of developments on this New York Times story. There was reporting yesterday that within a few hours after the New York Times story broke, the Biden's people already had an ad out there dealing with it. So could it be there was collusion between the New York Times and the Biden camp?
Absolutely.
And by the way, it is a federal crime to release tax information on an individual. And a Republican congressman, I believe it is from Texas this morning, is calling for a federal investigation. How did the New York Times get all of this tax information? You know, this matter is an ongoing court case right now.
Well, the state of New York's attorney general has a personal vendetta against President Trump. I have never seen anything like this. I'm 57. I've been following politics since Richard Nixon, and you guys have too. Walker's younger than us, obviously in his mid-20s, but I've never seen anything like it with the way that the left and all the whole world is against President Trump. The deep state, they spied on his campaign illegally.
Yep.
They misrepresented the documents to the FISA court, as we all know. They were all out to undercut him and get him. China hates him. The Democrats, the Hollywood, the social media. I've mentioned this before. The European intellectuals. The man is, he has his flaws and faults, but he's lied about every single day. And yet he goes out and takes questions from these same people who attack him day after day after day. I've just never seen anything like it, the attacks that he receives. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.